FM Rewind, File 88.1.
Earlier on, we spoke about HIV prevention and how medical advances are helping young people take control of their health. There's an STI that's probably not often spoken about. And that STI is called syphilis. Yes, syphilis. Well, this is an infection that doesn't just impact your body. It can silently travel through stages, attack your nervous system, and even lead to severe mental illnesses if left untreated. We've seen it on the streets. What do I mean on the streets? People who are living in the streets, unfortunately, are exposed to syphilis. And it's unfortunate that some of them are perceived as possessed. Some of them are perceived as unwell, when in reality, many of them might be living with the devastating effects of untreated syphilis. This virus progresses into neurosyphilis. And these are not just cases of misfortune. They are preventable. They are treatable. So we need to talk about them and educate the masses on how to treat such cases. So we are joined by an STI specialist to help us break down, you know, the facts, also bust the myths, and get real about what syphilis is, how it progresses, and how it connects to mental health as we talk syphilis and mental illness. We joined on the line by Sister Mahalatiba Lesedi, who is a clinical nurse practitioner from Pokwani, Sekhukhune. She finally followed her passion from public hospitals to opening her own clinic in Hammarskraal. She's joining us on the line. Good evening, sister. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, from a medical perspective, what is syphilis?
Okay. Syphilis is just simply, like you've said already, it's one of the STIs that are not so common, but common in another way, as we see it frequently in our practices. It's just a sexually transmitted infection, which is caused by a bacteria called Treponema pallidum. Mm. So it usually goes through a broken skin or through the mucous membrane. Mm. And as we all know, if it's a sexual transmitted infection, usually the genitals are involved. And then this one is also even tricky because even orally you can get it.
Now, is it only transmitted sexually, or perhaps does mucus play a role in this case without any sexual contact? Does do blood also play a role in transmitting syphilis?
Yes, mucus does play a role. It's not only transmitted sexually. Like I said, you can even get it when you are kissing, just a mere kissing, a deep kiss especially, not just a normal baby kisses, but those deep munches. They can get you syphilis, especially if the person has got a sore inside their mouth or on the tongue or on the lips. Then they can be exchanged there with the bacteria.
You know, I've heard some people saying that syphilis can still be spread even when using a condom. How true is that?
Yeah, it's very true. You know, when I was working in the public sector, I used to say there's a correct use of a condom and there's a use of a condom. Those two differ. Because usually people, when they think of using a condom, they think condom has been put on just before penetration.
Oh, perhaps.
Whereas
you
can... I usually say once there's an erection, then condom must be on.
Wow. All right. Perhaps you can also paint a picture on how properly one should put on a condom to prevent this syphilis, because it's very important to get a clear picture when it comes to that, eh?
Yes, it is. What happens is, usually we know, especially with our youth, young adults, when they are busy, majority of them, especially when we ask them from our consulting rooms, from our clinics, they would tell you that, you know, condom, they put it, you know, just before penetration, but when they're busy with their foreplay, they don't consider condom because they think they are safe. And remember, some, they are too explorative. They do rub their genitals against the other one's genitalia. So if there's a sore there, you might not necessarily see it. And then there's fluid that is coming from both partners, from the female side and from the male side. So there might still be infection happening there because there's a sore that is open or there's a mucous membrane that is vulnerable, and then transmission can occur there. Then when you are wearing a condom, you're already too late.
Yeah. Hectic. So, yeah. Hectic.
Yeah. So foreplay, I always say if you have to touch or rub someone else's private part with your own private part, just put a condom on before that. That is going to be safe for you.
Well, thank you so much for painting that picture for us, sister. Now, let's talk about early warning signs of syphilis, especially in the first few weeks after infection. What are they?
Okay, the most common first sign that happens, the unfortunate part is very unnoticeable sometimes. It's a painless sore. You know, you just have a pimply-like sore on your genitalia, sometimes on your lip or on your tongue or inside your mouth. But because it's one of the painless ones, usually people, they don't consider it as something that, you know, is of importance to be checked. They just ignore it. And then the bad part is usually around 6 weeks it goes away. So you would think that, I'm okay now. And then whereas the disease is busy progressing in your body, unaware.
And let's talk about those progressions from perhaps the initial stage up until a stage where it becomes complicated from primary to tertiary. What are those common stages?
The first stage, like I've just said now, is the primary stage. That's where you've got that painless sore happening. We call it a canker in another term. Either on your lip or on your tongue or on your genitalia. And then you'll really hardly notice it. But if you notice it, it is very, very vital that you go and get it checked at your nearest doctor or clinic. And then that stage, the primary stage, is actually most infectious stage. Very, very infectious stage because it's still fresh. So you are actually very much more infectious than the other stages. And then there comes the secondary stage. It's after 6 weeks, you didn't get it checked and then it goes away. You think, I'm okay. The secondary stage now comes, you've got now those lesions, if they're in the mouth, they become patches like in your mouth or on your mucous membrane inside your mouth. And then if it's already now on your hands and your soles, it will be on the palms or on the soles of the feet. It will be like a rash, a red rash, spotted red rash. So it also goes further to your wet areas like your genitalia, your groin area, you'll have these white patches that are sort of moist. So some people, they might just say, there are some people, they think it's sibabo. You know, in our language, there's a thing called sibabo. They'll be like, I've got canalis sibabo, whereas it's a secondary stage of a syphilis. And then it's also very highly infectious when you've got that sore in your mouth. That is now advanced to secondary stage. Because now when you kill the person with that kind of sore, and then it transmits very, very easy.
Now, untreated syphilis does progress into neurosyphilis. That is according to research. What exactly is neurosyphilis?
Yes, neurosyphilis is one of the complications that come on the tertiary stage now. Because tertiary stage now, it's just simply complications. It can affect your heart. It can affect your brain. So neurosyphilis is now when the bacteria has invaded your brain or your CNS, either your brain or your spinal cord. And then it's usually seen majority in the HIV-infected people, even though it can be possible in anyone who does not have HIV but has syphilis. So it can start from just being a progressive dementia. A person will be a bit forgetful here and there with amnesia. There will be a bit... you know, having abnormal walk or complain of numbness of the feet, and then sometimes you're confused or poor concentration, and then it can even lead to depression, irritability. You just see a person's personality changes all of a sudden. And yeah. It's very tricky because it can develop 10 to 25 years after the initial infection. So it's very tricky.
Yeah, yeah, so many complications, yeah. Eh? And there's also what you call general paresis. What exactly is that?
It's actually the same as neurosyphilis. It's one of the complications that are happening in the tertiary stage. So there as well, you get almost psychotic symptoms, similarly as the ones that are psychiatric conditions. You get visual or auditory hallucinations, you get paranoia, some they even have illusions. You know, it just becomes so bad that you would even think this is just a pure case of mental case, whereas it's just a complication from just an STI that someone got 10 or 25 years ago.
Now, many people within the streets of Johannesburg appear to suffer from mental illness. Some also have certain health complications. But according to research, it is also said that some of the results could be as a result of untreated syphilis. How possible is that?
Yes, it is very possible. Since I had a bit of an encounter with a couple of patients who had syphilis, and then somehow their partner, sometime there after a few years, because I worked in this area for a long time, so then they've got these symptoms, and then because we don't really think of the previous history, we start to just assume either it's substance abuse or either it's, you know, witchcraft in our cultures. We've got this belief of witchcraft. But then the more you look at it, the more it does give you the idea that there's a possibility that majority of them, it just could be just a complication from syphilis, because the symptoms are more or less the same. Someone who's depressed, you will have, you know, similar symptoms as someone who's got just complication from syphilis. Someone who's using drugs, for example, they might have some hallucinations. Someone who's depressed might also have personality changes, or he might have withdrawals, he might have forgetfulness, he might have dementia, so the same way as the person who's got now neurosyphilis. So I think there's a bit of a gap for research there, deeper research to check if ever percentages as how to get the idea, this one's probably they have neurosyphilis, this one is just drug substance abuse, this one is just due to other mental disorders. So it's very possible that, yes, there's a lot out there that are walking the streets. They seem psychotic, or they seem like it's because of a drug, but it's just because of neurosyphilis.
Now, the connection between STIs, such as syphilis and mental health, are not publicly spoken about. Why is there so much little public awareness between the two?
I think for it to be little awareness is because we hardly, you know, correlate or connect mental health screening together with STI screening. So I think it's a gap as well there, that from now on, probably to my listeners, to my colleagues out there, to be aware that whenever you're doing STI screening, you also have to do mental health screening as well. It will help a lot. And then the other thing is there's a limited focus. Like you said at the beginning, you said that syphilis is one of the STIs that we hardly speak about it. So there's a limited focus on syphilis, but the sad part is that there's a major, major, major complications happening with that.
Now, let's talk about getting tested. How can someone who got infected by the syphilis virus or STI per se get tested? And do we have many facilities offering tests that will be able to diagnose this STI?
Yes. Luckily, with our public sectors and even our private sectors, like the sisters that own their clinics and the doctors that own their practices, we do have testing facilities available. It's even good because recently we have got what we call a dual test kit. It's a rapid test kit whereby you test together HIV and syphilis at the same time. So that is very good, because even at the public sector, at the clinics, at the primary level, you get that. So even at our different clinics, you also get that. So it's available, it's out there. Public services, I know they do the test for free, and with us, obviously, because it's a private companies, we'll be charging a certain fee for that, depending on the person that you have visited that is helping you. And then, you know, because of symptoms being so subtle, you can go there and just, you know, talk to your sister, talk to your doctor, explain the symptoms that you had or have, and then they will screen you, and then they will take it from there. If ever there's a need for testing, they will test you. If ever there's just a need for treatment there and there, because usually when the symptom is there, then just you need to treat there and there. But if there's no symptom, they can just do the test, and when your results get back, and then that's where they'll continue with helping you.
Now, is there a permanent cure for syphilis?
Yes, luckily there is. Because it's a bacteria, it's treated by antibiotics. So for now, what is available that is normally used is the injection, penicillin injection. If it's just a first encounter, there's no history of syphilis before, usually you get one dose. Or if you're a partner of someone that was diagnosed with syphilis and then you are asymptomatic, you probably get one dose. But if you are in the secondary stage, you might get three doses at a weekly interval. Even pregnant women give them three doses at a weekly interval.
Now, people often think soon as they get infected by any form of STI, then their body is now immune, meaning they won't get infected should they get exposed. Is it true, and does the same apply to syphilis?
Oh, no, that is not true, unfortunately, because you can still get reinfection even if you had it before. Since it's not a viral thing, and since it's an STI, that means you can get it again and again if you are exposed to the same person that did not get treatment. So we usually preach partner treatment. Partner treatment is very, very vital, because if I have syphilis, I get treated, but my partner does not get treated, he will still infect me again. And if he has another partner out there, he will still infect that particular partner. The partner will give it to another partner, you know, then it becomes a small pandemic. So it's very important that when you tested positive, your partner also has to get treatment, whether they've got symptoms or not.
Well, sister, we have a feature called Fact or an Opinion. This is where we play a clip, and as an expert, you need to let us know whether it's a scientific fact or an opinion. Take a listen to this.
Is it scientific fact or is it an opinion? Wellness booth.
All right, seems like we having a technical difficulty. But just to wrap up the interview, apologies for that. To wrap up the interview, you know, young people often ignore certain symptoms, especially after having any form of intimacy or sexual intercourse. I want us to wrap up the interview by advising young people on certain symptoms they should never, ever, ever ignore.
Okay. Yes. The symptom that they should never, ever, ever ignore, one of them is the sore on your genitalia. Whether it's painful, whether it's painless, whether you think it was there before, you're not sure, just get it checked out, because there's no sore that is supposed to be on the genitalia. If you've got a sore on your lip that you don't actually figure out is painless, it's on your tongue or it's on your mouth, inside the mouth, just get it checked out at your nearest clinic or at your nearest doctor. The other thing also that they must check as well is, even if it disappears after some time, maybe you didn't go that time, you were doubting, but if it disappears, still go and say, hey, I had a sore of this particular structure, or take a picture. Some people, they come with pictures to their facilities, and then they show, sister, I've got this, and then we will say, okay, let's do some tests for you. The other symptom that young people can look at, you know, we know that ladies, there's discharges there and there that comes in a month, either from ovulation or post or pre-menstruation. So if there's any discharge that smells offensive, just get it checked out. It's very, very important as well. And then if your partner tells you that I was at a clinic or I was at a doctor, I tested for syphilis. I got my results. This is the results. I think you must also go and get tested. Don't take it light because you don't have any symptoms. Go and get tested.
Well,
save a lot of complications.
Thank you so much for informing and educating us about syphilis. Not only syphilis, but the connection between this STI and how it can affect us mentally. For those who would like to get hold of you, how can they do that?
They can do it. Just leave my WhatsApp number. They can use it for both WhatsApp and call. 073-242-6011.
All right, amazing, amazing. And social media handles? Are there any social media handles?
Social media handles is Lysadium Wellness Clinic on Facebook, and then on Instagram is just Lysadi. And then on what did I leave out? On Facebook, Wellness as well, just Lysadium Wellness.
Doug, thank you so much, sister, for joining us right here on Voice of Vets 88.1. And have a splendid evening.
Thank you. You too, have a splendid one. Thank you for your listeners as well.
That was Sister Mahalatiba Lisedi joining us to talk up to us about syphilis and mental illness.
FM Rewind, File 88.1.